This morning we are still in Acts. We're in Acts 27. We're almost at the end of our Acts series. And this chapter, as I've gone through it, I've found that it looks a lot like an Old Testament chapter. It's got all that old action from the Old Testament. It's got shipwrecks, storms, action, fear, and betrayal. But it's also got lessons of faith, love, promise, just like the Old Testament. My message today isn't a step-by-step guide on how to ride a storm or how to survive a storm. It is simply things that God has highlighted to me as I've studied this passage. The title for the message today is Diamonds in a Storm. As I've been looking at this chapter, I found God telling me not to focus on the storm, but to focus what comes out of the storm. This morning, I'm going to give you a brief summary, and I will highlight a few points as we go along. So we're going to be in chapter 27. So if you open your Bibles, if you've got Bibles open to chapter 27, I'm going to reference some other verses in the Bible, but I think just stick to chapter 27. The Pharisees have managed to arrest Paul, and in true fashion, true Pharisee fashion, they're trying to get someone else to do their dirty work. They've asked the Romans to hear Paul's story. Agrippa finds no cause for Paul to be put to death or imprisoned. But Paul has appealed to Caesar, so Agrippa sends him to Rome. Chapter 27. Paul is placed as a prisoner under Roman centurion Julius to travel to Rome. They board a ship which was sailing along the coast of Asia. Acts 2:27, verse 2. And we put out to sea Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. As I read this, I felt God a stirring in me saying, why would you mention one person in this passage? So having that question in me, I looked for his name in other places in the Bible. Acts 20, verses 4. As he was accompanied by Sopar of Berea and Pyrrhus and the son of Pyrrhus and by Aristarchus. This is Paul. This is people with Paul. Colossians 4, verse 10. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you with his greetings. This is Paul speaking again. Acts 19, verse 29. The city filled with confusion, and they rushed with one accord into the theater, dragging along Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia. This was not just some random name. This was a close friend, a companion, someone who stuck with him through prison, shipwrecks. I find this to be so important for us to look at in our Christian life today. We all need people to come alongside us, to stand with us, to encourage us, to guide us, to correct us, to care for us. As talented and resolved as Paul was, he had close friends with him, even to the point of jail. Sorry. If you're gonna ride the storms of life, you need close friends and companions, and you need to be a close friend and companion. As we have a leader, Bessie, with us, I really want to encourage you to stand with him as he edges forward to stand by his side. As I prepared for this message, I've had friends who have sent encouragement, and it's just been such a great support. The next day, they landed at Sidon.
So they just did a small journey from Caesarea to Sidon.
Paul was allowed to visit and be cared for by his friends. Another point towards friends. Putting out to sea, they passed on the lee of Cyprus and landed at Myra. In searching this week, I wondered, does it mean that he passes on the left hand side of Cyprus? No, but the lee means on the calmer side of the island. Interesting, eh? In Myra, they changed the ship to an Alexandrian ship, which was sailing for Italy. They were generally bigger ships and carried grain from Alexandria on the Nile Delta to Italy. They struggled for many days and made slow progress. They finally arrived at Sidon. They sailed to the lee of Crete, again, the calmer side of Crete, opposite Salmon. They came to a place called Fair Havens, near the town of Lancia. Paul warned them, Acts 27, verse 10, "Men, I can see a voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives." How does Paul know this? It wasn't a vision, it wasn't an angel. They would have said so. This was wisdom. Paul made a better call than the professional sailors. James 1 verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. It will be given to you." All we need do is ask. Proverbs 2 verse 6, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He shields those who walk in blamelessness. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of the faithful one." God gives wisdom when we ask. No strings attached. Back to our story. The centurion ignores Paul's advice and takes that of the sailors. They sail on a gentle south wind. But not long after, a hurricane force wind called the Northeaster picked up. The ship had to give way to the wind. The seas became so rough, they had to lift the lifeboat onto the ship. They thought they may run aground on some sandbars, so they threw ropes around the ship to hold things together. Things became dire. They decided to throw the cargo overboard. But things still became worse. They threw the ship's tackle overboard. The ship's tackle would have been the things that they would have used to load and unload the ship and to tie things down. They went for many days without seeing sun or stars. They finally got to a place where they had lost all hope of being saved. Have you been here before? A place of absolute no hope. I've looked at Christian conversions and find people mostly come to this point before converting. Some come to a physical point, some come to an absolute realization who God is. The prodigal son, Luke 5 verse 17. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? Yet I am starving to death." Jonah in the whale's belly. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayers rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them, but I will shout of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. While I've been studying this passage, I've been drawn to this question. God, why to this point of absolute no hope, is so significant in Scripture? On Wednesday morning, I felt God say to me, "I want to build from the ground. I want to be the foundation. If there's any existing building, it will always challenge my position. I am a jealous God." We must speak to people who are struggling. This is the best time to let them know God loves them. Carrying on with our story, Paul reminds them about his warning of Fairhaven, and they would face grace loss. He tells them an angel of the Lord stood before him and told him the previous night, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you." Paul had superpowers. His whole journey was supercharged because God had promised him. Whatever happened to the ship, Paul knew who he was getting to run. As in Super Mario Brothers, he was in Starman mode. Or in Pac-Man, Power Pellet mode. Paul was sorted. Why would the angel say to him, "Graciously given you"? While Paul had been afraid, he had also considered other people. Other people's lives as priority, and clearly prayed for them. Exodus 32, Moses comes down from the mountain, and the Israelites have built a golden calf. Moses was furious, but he still stood in the gap and prayed that God would spare the people
from being punished.
Us as Christians are called to love and pray for others in spite of our own situation. Back to our story. It's at this point in the story where things start to change for the better. On the 14th night, the sailors sensed that they were approaching the land. It was becoming shallower. They dropped 4 anchors to slow down the ship. The sailors who needed to guide the ship into shore tried to escape on a lifeboat and leave the rest to fend for themselves. Isn't this so much like our human nature? We look out for ourselves in spite of the effect it may have on others. So completely different to the way Paul had looked at things. So completely different to the way God wants us to be. Paul says that everyone should stay on the ship. The centurion starts to listen. When leaders start to listen to Jesus and to godly men, things will start to change. The soldiers cut away the lifeboat from the ship so the sailors can't leave the ship. Paul says, eat, gain some more strength, because you have not eaten for a few days. Great practical advice. Wisdom again. They gave thanks for the food. Can you imagine this in the middle of a storm? We make so many excuses, don't we, for saying grace. Here we are, where people are being tossed in the middle of a storm. It's dark still. And we sang grace. They threw the rest of the grain overboard. They saw land and a sandy beach where they decided to run aground. They cut the anchors loose. Interestingly, in 1960, a group of divers found 4 anchors off the beach of Malta. The ship ran aground and the waves started to break over the rear of the ship. The soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners, but the centurion kept them from doing so. The centurion took control and ordered those who could swim to go first. The rest were to float on planks. All 276 people on the ship were saved. Does God allow storms in our lives, even for those who are in the middle of God's will? Paul was at the center of God's will. He was en route to meet Caesar for God. He got caught in a storm. If we take this idea into our current context, we will find ourselves as a church in the middle of a building project, in the middle of tough times in Zimbabwe. Are there going to be sacrifices? Yes. Is it going to be difficult? Yes. Is God on our side? Yes. Are we going to build a church? Are we going to build a church?
Yes.
Amen. Our lives going to be changed?
Yes.
I can guarantee you that everyone here in this room today are going to face storms. Guaranteed. the next time you're in a storm, I ask you to look for the diamonds. Don't focus on the storm. Focus on friendships. Focus on putting others first. Focus on standing for those who cannot stand for themselves. Focus on knowing that God has a plan. Know that you are part of God's plan. Can I pray for you this morning? Thank you, Lord, for these people here this morning. Lord, I pray you help them to see what your will is for their lives. Lord, I pray you help them to stand for others. Lord, I pray that others stand with them. Help them to form eternal diamonds which cannot be lost. Lord God, I pray for divine wisdom for each person here standing. Divine wisdom in small choices and large. Lord, I pray for your hand on everyone here. Lord, I pray that we do not focus on the storm, but rather on you. In your name I pray. Amen.